This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And you heard it. Phone lines are open, waiting for your questions live here at The Gardening Show. I'm Igor, and to my right, as always, is Mr. Master Gardener Bob Harris.
Good morning, Igor.
Good morning. And internet's been wacky all week long. So Facebook Live, it's working. It's not working. I don't know. It was working, and now it's. I don't see a preview, but that doesn't mean anything in the past. So if it doesn't show up here, it might still be on. So I'm going to check that. But yes, we are. You could check that out. Facebook.com/WESB1075. Email your questions as well, garden@WESB.com. Take it away.
Okay. I'm going to talk about pollination and some of the problems due to the weather conditions. Now, it's been, everybody knows, it's been pretty hot and humid. And at one time, it was hot and dry back in June. Now, it's hot and humid. That can affect pollination a great deal, especially in the vegetable garden. And many of us never think of that. The male part, the pollen grains, have to be transferred from the male part of the flower to the female part of the flower. And the pollen is sticky. And if you looked at it through a microscope, you'd see it has like little thorns or hooks on it that help it attach to the female part. And the female part has a sticky surface. So when it's hot and dry, that sticky surface can dry up. And of course, then the male pollen grain, when it hits the female part, it can't stick there. So you don't get pollination. And then vice versa, if it's wet, humid, the male pollen gets wet. It collects a lot of moisture. And it doesn't have the ability then to float in the air with air-pollinated plants like corn and tomatoes. The pollen grain can't float around and then land on the female part because it's too wet and heavy. So it can cause a lot of pollination problems that way. Nothing you've done wrong. It's just unusual weather that we're going through. So you may see instead on your tomato plants, instead of 30 or 40 tomatoes developing, you may see only about 10 developing. And that wasn't due to something you did wrong with fertilizer or watering, anything like that. It's probably due to the plant not being able to pollinate correctly. Now, in the tomato plant, the male and female parts are in one flower, but still that can affect them. But that pollen needs to float in the air a little bit. And sometimes we do that by shaking the plant or a little bit of wind. Or bumblebees, they come up to a flower and they do what we call a buzz. They sit there for a second and flap their wings. It causes a lot of vibration and that stirs up the pollen and then it floats around and gets stuck to the female part.
I thought for sure you were going to say we call that a bumble.
A bumble, yeah.
It's a bumblebee.
Okay, yeah, bumblebee.
It should bumble.
So with unusual weather conditions, all that can go awry.
Yeah.
So if you only got those 10 tomatoes, like me, instead of the 30 or 40, you know, don't be concerned. It's nothing you've done. You haven't fertilized wrong. You haven't watered wrong, probably, you know, a lot of those other things you haven't done wrong. It's just nature, you know, fighting against you for some reason this year. And it's going to happen with corn and even your squash plants. We got an email, you say.
Sure.
Okay.
If you're ready to take it.
Yes, I am.
If you're done with talking what you were talking about
there. Oh, I can always start back up.
Okay. We have Kathy Linden wrote in, and she says, Bob, these bugs are eating my raspberry bush leaves.
Oh, yeah.
What can I use to get rid of them before they attack my vegetables?
Yeah.
That looks like the dreaded Japanese beetle.
Yeah, it sure does. Yep, that's a Japanese beetle. And some of us are having a little problem with it, some of us not. And what you can do with it is, you know, you can pick them off. Or what a lot of people like to do is take a pail of soapy water and put it underneath where a lot of bugs are. Tap the leaf, they fall down right into the, because they're clumsy flyers. They fall right down into the soapy water and they're done. Or you can go to some of the chemical sprays, and a real popular one now is called the neem oil. And it's a biological, so it will destroy those Japanese beetles. Of course, it takes time.
How do you spell neem? Is it
N-E-E-M.
Okay.
Neem oil, or a long range solution is the milky spore. That's a nematode that you can handle with no concern at all, that you spread around your lawn, because the Japanese beetle in one stage is underground as a grub, and it feeds on your grass roots and shrub and tree roots. And Milky spore comes to life when the temperatures and moisture are just right and a population of beetles is there, and it attacks the beetles. And how it got that name, milky spore, you can always tell if a beetle has been attacked, or the grub part of the beetle. That's the first stage of the beetle, has been attacked by the milky spore. If you dig one up and you squish it, it'll be milky rather than any other color.
Yuck.
Of juice. Yeah. So it got that name, milky spore. Now, they're safe for everything. That's all they destroy is the Japanese beetle. They don't harm any pollinators. They don't harm worms. So you're safe there. And it's a long-range process. You won't see the effects the first year. You'll start to see a little bit of effect the second year. And then the third year, that population of that nematode milky spore that you've spread is starting to explode if you have Japanese beetles in the ground. And they're really doing their job by attacking those grubs. And then you really start seeing the effects. And, of course, then you're good for about 50 years.
Wow.
So, it's
you
not something.
Be set for life.
Yeah. That's why I say you're good for life. It's not something that you have to reapply, and it's very safe to do. Just a couple key points, because I know most people aren't going to read the directions. You don't want to spread it in damp areas, because there'll be no grubs in the damp areas, because they can drown there. So, anywhere where you got a slope, that's a good area. Anywhere where you've seen the grass this time of year starting to turn brown, that may be the feeding of the grubs, so spread it in that area. But try to spread it throughout your whole yard where conditions allow you, and you'll knock down that population. Matter of fact, if you can talk your neighbors into it, try to spread a little bit over there, too.
Oh, okay. Hey, there you go. As long as you pay for it, I'm sure they wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. You'll just be doing yourself and them a benefit.
All right, Kathy, I hope that answers
that
question for her, and she has better luck with those Japanese beetles. I never heard about the soapy water thing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Now, I remember you saying that they were clumsy flyers.
They are very clumsy, so when you knock them off, they just fall straight down.
Okay, great. And she had another question here. When's the best time to transplant, what is that, peony?
Oh, peony.
Peony bushes. I'm new.
Okay.
You have to excuse me. Peony bushes, when's the best time to plant? In the spring or fall? Thank you.
Both. Yep. Oh, spring or fall.
Okay.
Whenever you really feel like it. I kind of prefer the fall, because usually the fall weather is more conducive to plant growth. At cooler temperatures, soil stays damp longer. We don't have to water as often. And plants are really in the stage of developing their roots. So they take hold and that they won't fall over quite as easy. So, and the conditions are just better for you too. So I prefer the fall, but spring will work too.
But not summer.
But not summer, no.
Okay.
No. Now, you could do it in the summer, but your success rate's going to go down.
And you're going to be sweating a lot more, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, there you go. Thank you very much for writing in, Kathy. Garden@WESB.com. And thanks for the pictures as well to help us identify what bug you were talking about there, the dreaded Japanese beetle.
Yes.
All right. Phone lines are open, 814-368-9372. If you'd like to get on the air, ask Bob the Master Gardener a question. We are here for you every Saturday morning at 8:30. You can also join us on Facebook Live. It is working. And you could comment your questions that way.
Some other things that may happen in the heat, you can get malformed or funny looking vegetables out of your vegetable garden.
Yeah.
It can cause, because a lot of the vegetables just don't like the heat, even though most of them come from the tropics. But the high heat and humidity can make them form funny. And it may be due to not being pollinated correctly because of lack of bees. And like I said before, the heat and humidity can affect the pollen.
Boy, that's tricky then. They love the sun but hate the heat.
Yeah.
Well, gee, okay.
The heat and humidity combine.
Mm.
And also pollinating insects, bees and butterflies and so on, can, in this heat and humidity, get a little bit of fungus on them, on their legs and so on. And when they go flower to flower, they can deposit some. So that can cause a lot of problems to that flower, so it can't develop into a nice fruit.
I see.
So it can be problems with the malformed fruit. They're still good, no matter what shape they are. That cucumber that didn't come out long and narrow, come out like a ball, that's still a good cucumber. Don't worry about it. A lot of the other fruits, even though they may have bends in them that shouldn't have, other malformities, they're still good to eat. That's not going to affect you at all.
Isn't that the same with anything in life? Just like me, some people are goofy looking.
Yeah.
But we're still all right.
Yeah, that's right.
We're still all right.
Good. Good one. So I want to go on to these perennials I got. I've been bringing in a few every week.
Yeah, I see you have some tall things this week. And boy, let's get to it. Let's take a look at the Facebook Live, facebook.com/WESB1075, but we'll describe them for you on the radio.
Yeah.
Well, so what do we have first?
Number one is the lavender. Very, very popular now for a lot of reasons, because they're pretty color. They flower that nice purple. They help keep mosquitoes away and other bugs. They really dislike the scent they're giving off. You can make your own soaps out of lavender, make your own oils. It's a great idea. If you have trouble sleeping, clip a little lavender, put it in your pillowcase. That scent will help you relax and sleep better. But lavender is a plant from the Mediterranean area.
Oh, okay.
So it likes dry condition. So make sure you're going to plant it in a well-drained area. If you can't find a well-drained area, create a mound that will make it drain better and plant your lavender there on the mound. So it's extremely important. And don't feel you got to go out there and water your lavender every day, because it's not going to really like all that water. It likes to be a bit dry. And that's why it's got some of the color on the leaves there. That grayish color is due to a lot of hairs on it.
Yeah, it's not very green. It's like a more pale, and that's because of the little tiny hairs on it. Huh?
Yes, yes. And that's because it comes from the Mediterranean. It needs all those hairs to protect it from a lot of severe sun. So it's developed a way of surviving hot and dry. So that's where you want to plant it. Full sun, in an area that doesn't get wet, and please don't overwater it, because that will cause it to die in a hurry. So the lavender plant. Oh, and when the blossoms are done, when they fade away, then just clip off those flower stems, and it should bloom again for you.
Is that a shade sun?
No, full sun.
Full sun. Full sun. Okay. Very good. And does that get wider?
It will. It will tall? Get wider a bit. Now, it's not going to develop seed that's going to drop down and become new plants. As a matter of fact, they're kind of a short-lived perennial. They don't live forever like a daylily or a peony that can live for 100 years. You know, if you get 10 years out of a lavender plant, you're doing pretty well. They just run out of steam.
Oh, okay.
So be prepared. You know, you may have to replant every so many years, but it's well worth it. Great perennial to have in the garden.
We have a phone call.
Beautiful.
All right. Hey, good morning. You're live on the gardening show.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I was just calling to find out about tomato plants and when them tomatoes should ripen.
Okay. Depending on which tomato plant you got, some tomato plants ripen very early, like the cherry tomatoes. They usually, the cherry and grape tomatoes, they usually ripen quite early. Or like the early girl tomato, that's another one. There's quite a few other ones too. They start to ripen just about now, they may, depending on when you planted them.
I've got quite a few cherry tomatoes, but I didn't know if they'd ripen on their own or you got to pull them off and set them out. Like, I pulled some of the regular tomatoes about the size of a baseball.
Okay.
They weren't ripened.
Well, you should have left them on there.
Cause I'm assuming that'll ripen them, but I don't know.
Yeah, it will. The best way to do that is to pick them, put them in a paper bag with a slice of apple. That apple gives off a gas called ethylene that encourages the ripening process.
Oh, I see.
But
them cherry ones, they should ripen on their own.
Oh, yeah, they should. And any tomato really should ripen on its own when conditions get just right. And when the age of that tomato is reached its mature stage, it'll ripen right on the vine.
So then you shouldn't really worry about it.
No, you shouldn't worry about it, no.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good one. Thanks for calling in the gardening show.
Now,
go ahead.
Oh, some of the things that can help ripen your tomato is if you got a lot of leaves on your tomato plant and it's shading that fruit, then you may want to clip off some of the leaves so you can get good air circulation all the way through the plant and get sunlight all the way through the plant. That'll, what we call, it'll hurry up the ripening period.
Okay.
Yeah, not hasten, that's the opposite.
Oh, okay. We have a short break to take, 30 seconds, but we'll be right back with more questions and more show and tell on Facebook Live. We have two other plants to get to, and this is The Gardening Show, sponsored by Worth W. Smith on B107.5 FM.
At Worth W. Smith Company, you'll find what you need when it comes to shovels, rakes, pruners, and all sorts of other gardening and landscaping tools. Why take the chance of getting splinters from old dried-up cracked handles or the frustration of fighting with the rusty, chipped cutting edge on your loppers? Their staff is always eager to lend a helping hand with getting you what you need for the job ahead. Stop and see them today at any of their six locations in Bradford, Olean, Salamanca, Cuba, and Eldred. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show right here on B107.5 FM and AM 1490 WESB. Phone lines are still open for you if you'd like to ask Bob a question. No matter what we're talking about, we'll answer what you have going on. That's why we're here for you. 814-368-9372. Now, we do have a couple more plants here that you brought in to show us.
Yes, this is an ornamental onion.
Really?
It's not edible. This is an ornamental one that flowers really nicely. And the foliage is that real long, spiky leaves on it.
And it's a darker green, too.
And it's very dark green, yes. So that adds a lot of interest to your perennial garden. Not having all just big leaves to once in a while. Foliage is just as important to me as the flower is. The foliage, different foliages can make a plant really stand out and make the other plant stand out even more. So that's ornamental onion.
So that's like a lighter kind of purple than the first lavender one.
Yes.
It's kind of like more almost pink purple.
Yes, indeed, yes. And that's a good perennial that will last forever. So a real good perennial. Doesn't take a lot of care. All these plants that I bring in, you know, don't take a lot of care except for, you know, the particulars with the lavender. It wants to be in a really dry location.
Is this also full sun?
Full sun, yep. It will go in part sun, too. So don't be afraid to put it in a little bit of a shady area. It will still grow and perform very well.
And how big does it get?
This is about the height that it'll get. About a foot and a half tall.
Okay.
So it's not a real big plant, but not a real ground hugger. And you can see, and with this, though, now most perennials, if you cut back the flowers, they'll rebloom. This one, no. Once it has bloomed, it's a good idea to cut back the dead blossoms just to make it look better. But it won't rebloom for that, but it will rebloom the next year. So a good perennial plant, ornamental onion.
Yeah, right. And then you have one more here.
I yeah.
The big one.
The big one. Yeah, I don't want to put it up front.
No, we can see it from in the back because that is a tall, what is that, a grass?
Yes, this is called ornamental grass.
Well, look at that.
Yeah. And
that's a name I can remember.
It's one of my favorites because these are real diehards. No matter where you plant them, they're going to grow and get bigger and bigger every year. I've seen a plant this size become like 6-8 foot across over the years.
Wow.
So they're neat there. They will produce, some people call it a flower, but it's a plume. It looks like a feather-like end on it. That is their flower, and it will develop seed, but the seeds will not drop and start growing all through your lawn. Now, some ornamental grasses can do that, but most of the ones that you find around here, like at Graham's Greenhouse, they choose the ones that won't become invasive.
Okay.
So this is a good plant. Start growing in the early spring. A lot of people like to leave them all winter long even because they can get quite tall. You know, this one here will probably get 5 foot tall. Some of them even taller than that. Some a little shorter. There's all different heights. But they leave them through the winter because every time the wind catches them or snow, you know, they really do look pretty spectacular that way. But then you got to remember to cut them down in the spring. Cut them right down within 6 inches of the ground. Otherwise, the leaves start blowing around all around your yard. And the mower has a rough time with them. So I'll explain even how I like to cut them down. I'll take a string, wrap it right around the plant, tighten it right up, becomes one big ball. Then I can cut it right off with shears or scissors, any sharp cutting tool you have there. And and that string will hold that bunch together so that you can pick it up and dispose of it with no trouble at all.
And is that really the only thing is just because it'll start blowing everywhere? That's why you need to cut it down? Or will that actually hurt the plant if you don't trim it?
Oh, it won't hurt the plant. No.
Okay.
But it, like I said, it can be a problem with blowing around your yard, maybe even into your neighbor's yard. And it just, most people don't like the look of brown foliage.
No, not really.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Very good.
So yeah, the ornamental grass, that's a great one. There's many, many different kinds. This one's called Miscanthus sinensis. I really like this one. It has a green leaf with a little white stripe down the center, and it has a beautiful plume will start showing up near fall, and it'll be a reddish color, and it's very, very pretty. Moves around in the wind, and so it's a highly recommended perennial in my book.
And does it like dampness?
It can take dampness and it can take dryness.
Okay.
It's a very versatile plant. It will enjoy full sun. I have planted them in the shade. They still grow, not in dark shade, light shade. They will still grow. They just don't grow quite as vigorous and quite as large, but they still will grow fine in light shade.
I guess it's a grass after all, right?
Yes, so after all, it is a grass.
If you can grow grass where you'd like to plant it, it'll probably work.
Yep, indeed.
Excellent.
So great, great perennial. And you'll have it for forever.
Oh,
matter of fact,
yeah.
Over the years, just like many of your perennials, you can dig and divide it and make more and more of them.
That's what I was going to ask, because you said this thing could get like feet wide,
yes,
after a while. So you can,
oh yeah,
divide and conquer.
Sure, you sure can.
Neat. Okay.
Yep.
Or sell it to your neighbors.
Yeah.
There you go. A little side business.
One of the reasons I like it, you know, like I said, it doesn't make flowers, but it has neat foliage, and it really stands out in a landscape because it's so large, for one thing, and so different, and that fine foliage, it really draws your eye towards it. So it's a neat plant in that concern, too.
What do you think about using it as a screen if you have several of those to kind of do a privacy barrier?
It's excellent screening. Yeah,
okay.
Excellent. Now, it won't give you that screening in the late winter.
Mm-hmm.
Early winter, yes. But then late winter, you know, getting around February, March, it starts to fall apart. So the screening is gone then until it starts to regrow again in May and June.
Yeah, perfect. And then you have to, of course, do the trick with the string.
Yep, string and clippers.
Take your samurai sword and lop it off.
I've used the shear type pruners,
mm-hmm,
like a big pair of scissors. I've just used regular pruners, the nip, nip, nip away. I've even used hedge trimmers, the motorized or electric hedge trimmer.
Oh, yeah, just where you buzz can just it right across.
Give it a real buzz cut, yes.
Yeah.
Either way works. They're easy to care for in that respect. Other than that, you don't really need to do anything to them.
Very cool. All right. Hey, the phone lines are open. And if you would like to give us a phone call, 814-368-9372. Got about 4 minutes left.
Okay.
And Trisha on Facebook Live says she loves this grass. One of her favorites.
Ah,
there you
good.
Go.
One of mine, too.
All right. We do have a phone call. Hi, good morning. You're on the gardening show.
Hi. I have a garden out back, and I was starting to get some spots on my tomato leaves. So I sent a picture of the leaves to the McKean County Cooperative Extension. And they said that I have leaf, I don't know how to say it, spotae or I think it was S-P-O-T-A-E.
Yeah, septoria.
So, my question is, do I have to take all the soil out of the garden and start again next year? And how do I prevent that? They told me to get some fungicide, so I bought copper fungicide and mixed it. And I spray that on the top and bottom of the leaves once a week. Doesn't seem to be bothering my zucchini, but I just wondered what to do in the future to prevent it and what to do about the soil.
Okay. Number one, what you should do when you start seeing those spots on the leaves of your tomato plant, cut that section of leaf off and get it right out of the garden, because it is a fungus called septoria. And it will, if you leave those leaves, they can drop to the soil and that fungus can survive in the soil. Usually, though, for most of us gardeners, tomato plants grow so quickly, it doesn't kill the plant. It makes it look ugly. So most of us really don't bother putting a fungicide on the soil. We just, when we see those bad leaves, we clip them off, take them out of the garden, and that stops the progress of it. You know, as soon as you see those spots on the leaves and the leaf getting yellow, it's a good idea to clip it right off. Your tomato plant's going to make new leaves all the time. It probably has many, many leaves on it anyhow, and it's a good idea to thin out your tomato plant. And that fungus just likes the humid conditions that we have, And so you may not see it next year at all, even if you don't do anything, but you may see it again. So if you feel like you need to do the copper fungicide, fine, that's go ahead and do that. But most of us are just going to clip that leaf off and get it out of the garden and carry on.
So I don't need to get rid of all the soil?
No, you don't.
Okay.
Nope, not at all.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah. I say most of us get that every year. Like I said, it doesn't kill the plant. We still get a good harvest from our tomato plants. So we really don't worry about it. It's an airborne fungus. Even if you cleaned up all your soil, it can blow in from your neighbor. So you'd be constantly fighting it. So my recommendation is don't worry about it. Just clip off those old ugly leaves and
carry on.
And carry on.
All right.
Okay. I have a lot of tomatoes on the plant, but they're all green.
Uh-huh.
I have like six, and they're all green. Should I pluck those off and take them in and try to get them to turn red in the house so that the plants can try growing some more tomatoes? Because they've been green forever.
That's kind of like what we were talking about earlier in the show, too. Yeah.
I would just leave them on the vine. Any new tomatoes right now, probably not going to have enough time to grow and get ripe. So you're not going to do any justice by picking them all off in hopes of producing more, unless it's a cherry tomato. So I'd leave them on the vine. They will ripen in time, but if you're really impatient, you can pick a few of those green ones, the largest ones, put them in that paper bag with a slice of apple, and within a week they should ripen right up.
Oh, okay. Paper bag with a sliced apple.
Yes.
Cool little trick that you find out every now and then.
Yeah.
See, this is why the gardening show is cool. All right. Thanks a lot for the call. We're all out of time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Excellent calls today.
Yes, excellent.
Great advice from you.
Thanks.
Mr. Master Gardener, Bob Harrison. We'll do it again next week.
Yes. You bet.
Excellent. 8:30 Saturday mornings and live on Facebook. And we'll have it up on the website so you can listen as a like a podcast on demand, WESB.com. You have a fantastic weekend, Bob.
Thanks.
All righty. It's 1490 WESB, B107.5 FM.